Will you pray with me? Father, this morning, as I reflect upon what Paola shared out of Psalm 84, I love the verse where it talks that you are a sun and you are a shield. Lord, we praise you this morning because that is who you are to us. You give grace and glory, the verse says. And Lord, we stand and we worship you. Lord, as we sang, we worship you for breaking into our lives, for communicating with us, and that there is a kingdom that we can live for, not our own, but yours. Father, we confess that often we're like Peter. We look around us, we see the waves in our life and the waves in the world, and we begin to sink. Father, I ask that, much like my kids, like when they were young, would take my face in their hands and turn my face to theirs, I ask that you would do the same for us. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your graciousness to us. We ask now, Lord, as we look at a passage about faith, that you would stir in our hearts, that you would meet us where we are at, and that your Son would be glorified. In your name we pray. Amen. What did you want to be when you were young? Someone asked, what do you want to be? Some of you, I know, are still young. What did you want to be? Play with me. An archaeologist on the front row. Airline stewardess. An astronaut. We had one of those in first service too. A teacher. A geologist. There you go. We got a couple of those. You can talk to them after service.
But,
yeah. Apparently children's ministry was canceled this morning because of a... And it's okay. We like having them here. Young. It's good. You know, when we were young, and even now for some of the dreamers, it's what did we want to be? When I was young, really young, I wanted to be a pharmaceutical sales rep. That's what my dad was. Then I got a little older into high school, and I wanted to be Michael Jordan. I wanted to be like Mike. Hours outside shooting hoops, so I'm a Hoosier. I mean, come on. Then I realized that I was too short to be like Mike. So I shifted, and I decided I wanted to be Tom Cruise. I thought flying an F-14 off a carrier, I mean, you can't be more bad than that, can you? I was reminded of that recently in the movie theater. And then life was facing me. It was college. What did I want to be when I grow up? That was simple. I wanted to be Jeff Bezos. I wanted to be incredibly rich, do whatever I wanted. You know, none of those in my mind were mediocrity. Each of those individuals, they were the best. They were the top of their game. And I've got high school and middle school boys running around, they're always like, Dad, they're the GOAT, the greatest of all time. We don't aspire to mediocrity. Or I've seen on social media, world's okayest dad. I'm like, whatever. Don't ever buy me that shirt. We are attracted to greatness. We're attracted to those that are at the top of their game, the goats of life. You know, it's the same way in the race of faith. You and I began the race of faith, and we weren't like, oh, I just found Jesus. I think I want to do nothing for him. It was the opposite. It was like, Lord, here am I. What would you do with me? But then, as often happens, in our race, we realized that running was hard. It's not easy to run after Jesus. We quickly learn, even discouraging so, that not all make it. Many realize they don't want to run and they just stop. We wonder about that. For some, we get into the middle of our race and we find that it's terribly challenging. Yeah, we've got time in the rearview mirror, but life's hard. We wonder, will I be able to finish, or should I just sideline now? This last weekend, I decided to go running. Been running a little, just a little. Catherine looked at me and said, it's 8 minutes till it rains. About 10 minutes, I went out, and sure enough, it was raining. Started running in the rain, and my clothes got all wet, and they became heavy, and I thought I should go back. This is a little too much. Kept running, hit a puddle. My shoes got soggy. Man, now it's like I'm running with weights on my feet. I should probably turn back. Then the lightning and thunder came, and I was like, it's on. You know, often in this life, there are things that weigh us down in our race. We don't even realize that the rain comes, the thunder rolls. Maybe it's a sin we struggle with, and it's just constant shame that cycles. A spouse in grief takes hold of us, and we just can't quite move past. Could be a broken relationship. One that's just not quite right and we feel the sting of the brokenness and the jagged edges. Could be something in our past and we realize that maybe we missed something and we mourn it. Other emotions, a lost, angry, alone. I guarantee you I was the only one running the other morning in the neighborhood. And then there are times we just feel weak. And we wonder, can we run the race that Jesus has called us to? We need in those moments pictures, snapshots of people who have also felt the sting of the rain, who have lived these emotions and they've made it to the finish line and they've gone past. They've finished well. This morning, I want to look together at how can you and I run well our race, but even more specifically, can you and I do great things for God where we find ourselves today? We've been going through the book of Hebrews, and the title of our sermon series is Jesus is Greater. In chapter 10 last week, the writer challenged the community of faith to run their race together. But we come to 11, and he's just talked about endurance. We come to chapter 11, and of all the places he goes, he gives us these mental snapshots of heroes of the faith. This morning, I want to look at the big picture. I want to hit the highlights. There's much that's going on in this chapter. And I want to ask, we'll see three things. First, we'll see our struggle that is the same in different ways for all. We'll see the answer, and we'll realize that we have a choice to make. So if you would, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. It's a long chapter. We won't read it all. We're actually going to read the first three verses, and then we're going to bounce around. So if you got your phone, get ready. We're going to hit some different places. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 to 3. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the men and women of old gained approval. By faith, we understand that worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. How can you and I run our race well? Can we do great things for God, and what would it take? The first thing is that we need to realize as a challenge, the call to follow Jesus is not easy. It never has been. Scripture is clear. The Gospels and the followers of Christ that followed, that wrote the New Testament, it was not an easy thing to follow Jesus. And we want to do great things for God, but then we realize that life's just hard. In different ways, but in the collective, it is tough. The Hebrews, who this book is written to, we saw for the first time last week in chapter 10, their life was not easy. They were second-generation Christians that were trying to follow Jesus, and we find in chapter 10 that they had experienced persecution. The chapter says that they had been made a public spectacle. They had become outsiders when they accepted Christ. They no longer fit quite right into their families and their communities. It says in chapter 10 that there were reproaches, tribulation, seizure of properties. You know, as Americans, we would say our rights were violated, but they had lost and sacrificed for the sake of Christ. And they found themselves in the middle of the race, and the race isn't going quite how they expect, and fatigue is setting in, and whether they know it or not, they're starting to drift toward the sidelines. We come to chapter 11, and the writer, to encourage them, are you ready for this? He trots out the goats. You weren't ready. Trot? Okay, anyway. We see the first one in verse 4, and there's a list of men and women who are faithful in this chapter, and we're like, all right, come on, I'm ready, show me the picture, and the first one we get is Abel. Seriously? Like, you all remember Abel, brother of Cain, son of Adam and Eve, got killed with a rock by his brother. Well, that's interesting. I'm not so sure. Got killed by a rock, but you got to humor me one more time. Let's roll on here. Boy, you guys are tired. We come to the next character. It's Enoch. I like Enoch. Walked with God, and he was just taken. Boom. Lord, you can take me now. Someone else can come up and preach. That'd be kind of nice, you know? We have Enoch. Then we have Noah. Oh, Noah was the man. Whole world had gone to seed, and God tells him to build a boat, and he's like, I'm your man. That's a man of faith right there. I'm liking it. All right, Enoch, Noah, how about Abraham? Who wouldn't want to be Abraham? The picture of faithfulness over the long term. Not perfect, but that dude knew how to plod. All right. Then we come to Moses and Rahab and David. These are people that did great things for God. I'm like, sign me up. Then we come to verse 32. The list gets a little different. We may or may not know these people. Gideon. Barak, Samson, Jephthah. Who are those guys? Well, they're four military heroes of Israel. But if we would dig deeper, one of them is a narcissist. Two of them are scaredy cats. I don't know if I want to be these guys. They don't quite meet my litmus test. I like Moses and Abraham. Then we come to verse 33. You can follow along. Who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword from weakness, were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Yes! Yes! Yeah! Yeah! Sign us up. Then we come to verse 36. And others experienced mocking and scourging. Yes, in chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, really. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were put to death with the sword. Maybe not. Maybe not. You and I, as followers of Christ, if we are to be faithful, we must count the cost. Every one of these heroes counted the cost. The word, how do I know that? Because throughout the chapter, it uses the word consider. Look at verse 19. It's talking about Abraham when God said, Abraham, hey, I want you to go sacrifice Isaac. Verse 19, he considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. Look at verse 26. This is Moses. What did he do? He considered, considering the reproach of Christ, greater riches than the treasure of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, and it goes on. What about Gideon? What do we remember about him? He considered, he put out a fleece. Hey, Lord, you in this? Do I really want to be on point here? How about Barak? He's a scaredy cat. He considered, he had to go, he went and found a strong lady in Deborah. And Deborah said, here, I'll be your backbone. Let's go do God's will. How about Samson? I'm like, really, Samson? Like, did this guy ever study Samson? This chapter? You know Samson's last prayer? He considered. And then he did God's will. The course, my friends, will not be easy. Matter of fact, the course that most of us, all of us, we have unique courses, but they are not flat. They are not smooth. I love the old African-American proverb. You know, God could have smoothed the course. Here's the proverb. If the mountain was smooth, we wouldn't climb it. God could have smoothed your and my course, but would we climb for Him? Not only that, God could fix your and my flaws. You know, every morning when you and I get up and look in the mirror and we think, man, internally, Lord, I don't like that. Or do you remember that, Lord, in the past? I struggle here, Lord. Can you use me? We even ask Him to fix us, and often He doesn't. Enoch is an interesting character. I can't quite find a flaw with him. His story is really short in the Old Testament. He was a man that walked with God, and God just took him. That's all it says. But I know this, if you and I walk with God, the closer we get, the more we will see our flaws. And they were there in Enoch. He could have fixed them, but He takes our flaws and He tethers us to Him. I'll be the honest one this morning. If I didn't have flaws, I'm not sure I would need God. He takes our flaws and we come back to Him and He tempers us. He has a way to prune out and to heat up the fire and take off the dross in our lives. We should consider the course will not be easy. But the question when I come to chapter 11, I mean, I look at this chapter and I read it and I ask one question. Am I running? Like, I want to be this. Do I, or have I drifted somehow over the sideline and maybe I would miss this? There are two typical struggles when it comes to your and my faith, and it's good to identify them. I think it helps us to be honest about what we're doing. The first is the enemy of faith, and the second is our propensity when it comes to faith. The enemy of faith, are you ready? It's always fear. It's always fear. Fear is always there before steps of faith are taken. If there was not fear, what would the faith be there for? The enemy of faith is fear, and you're in my hearts on any given day, in any given moment, at any given decision. We can listen to fear, or we can move in faith. I love Rahab. She's in this lineup. She lived in a city that didn't believe in Yahweh. Israel was coming to conquer the land, and she was the lone one. Can you imagine the fear that would have been in her before she moved in faith? You know what I love about Rahab? A couple things. She was a foreigner. She was a prostitute. Do you know that Rahab is in the line of Christ? Because at the moment of decision, she did not listen to fear. She moved into her world in faith. What about the timid? It is not the absence of fear. you and I should expect fear. How about Gideon, one of those scaredy cats? Hey, God, I'm not sure you've called me to something. I'm not sure I want to step into that. How about a fleece? Oh, that's nice. How about a second one? You know who's in this chapter? Gideon. Why? He had faith. Not the absence of fear, but the courage by faith to move into fear. Fear is the enemy of faith. This morning, what has God called you to right now? What over the last couple weeks in this season has He said, hey, let's take steps here? And you said, but I'm afraid. That will cost too much. My friends, you're right there. You're right where He wants you. And the question is, will we step over in faith? That's the enemy, but I know myself too. I don't like pain any more than the next guy. Actually, I avoid pain if I'm left to myself. If I'm going to run a race and there's one with a hill or there's one that goes flat, duh, flat all day. I like the path of least resistance. It calls my name, Michael, it'll be easier. Go that way. Yet God calls you and I to hard things. He wants maximum glory, so He sets the bar high. And He says, son, daughter, take the step. Let's go. You can't imagine what I can do with you. You limit yourself. I do not. Step out of the boat. What are you facing this morning in your life that's tough? What is it that you wake up and go to bed thinking about and it just sits there? We understand we're on a spiritual journey. It's not one-dimensional. There's more going on. Are you afraid this morning? He's not. Are you running is the question. I like what I tell my kids. Of course I like it because I say it. I tell them, you do not have to be the best, but I want you to do your best. What freedom. What freedom we have in His grace. I like what Jesus offers when He gives the parable of the talents. Some have five, some have three, some have one. You know, the only one that got corrected harshly by Jesus was the one that went and buried his talent. All the rest got the same reply. Faith. Well, that leads to a question. Man, is it worth it? I mean, is it worth it? Jesus would ask, what does it profit to gain the whole world and forfeit your soul? How can you and I do great things for God? First, consider the call is hard. It is not easy. The course is tough. There are enemies, external and internal. But what is the solution? Why would you and I answer God's call with our lives? Why would we serve? Why would we give? Why would we decrease? Why would you and I be willing to die for Jesus? It's because you and I have something greater. We have something that the world does not understand. And why should they? We are a people of faith. We have faith. Look at verses 1 to 3 again. This isn't the definition of faith. It is the nature of faith and is what we have. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things seen, not seen. For by it, men and women of old gained approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. We are a people of faith, and we come to this chapter. If you read this chapter, the thing you and I see over and over and over is the words, by faith. 18 times, every one of these characters, by faith. For them, it was hard. They didn't have the full picture. None of these had Christ crystallized in their mind that he had died for them. Look at verses 39 through 40. And all these, that's these here, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised. They hadn't seen Jesus come yet. Verse 40, because God had provided something better for us. You and I know the rest of the story. They looked forward to the cross. We look back to the cross of Christ. So that apart from us, they would not be made perfect. If the event of Christ had not happened, he's the focal point of all of salvation. You know what makes it hard for us, though? These people have crossed the finish line and we haven't. We're still looking. They have seen. Both are hard. All are by faith. You know, it's harder. Verse 17. Look at verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. Let's just stop there. Tested. Abraham was tested. Do you realize this morning that for each of us that follow Christ, and I couldn't tell you the specific, God reserves the right to test our faith. I can't explain that. But there are seasons in life where we ask, why God? He says, do you trust me? And we don't like that answer. Do you know where God is testing you in this season? Where is your faith being pushed into to strengthen it? Are you okay to let God be a mystery and not figure out everything he does? There are days I don't like that. If God is not a mystery, he ceases to be God. And I don't want to worship that. That is not hope to me. His ways are beyond our ways. What about the faithful here in chapter 11? They surprise us. All of these did great things for God. And you know what? They all had gaping holes. All right. Maybe. These are the faithful and flawed. We could pick apart every one of their lives. You know what else we see is that it does not matter if you are young or old. Samuel, David were young boys when God stirred in their heart. Abraham was at the end of his race when his greatest test came. It's by faith. We also see that some have more faith than others. But do you know what the common denominator is? They all are living for the next kingdom. In verses 13 to 16, in the middle of the chapter, it doesn't quite fit, but we understand it when we think this way. It says, all these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they were out, they would have had opportunity to return. 16's the kicker. But as it is, they desired a better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. My friends, many of us, this life has caused wounds. There have been seasons of waiting. You may be in one now. You may be wandering now. Your journey may have you in a wilderness. These people did too. And when they found themselves there, it was in these things that God crystallized their calling. It was where their faith was proved out. I love in this chapter, several times it says approval, that God approved of them. They did great things. They lived for another world. And do you know what was required? Perfection? No. Perfection was not the requirement. Faith was. How do we know if we're exercising faith? Here are two tests that we can run through our current. Are we running? The first is, are we sacrificing? And the second, are we refusing to sit? Everything in your and my life will call us to sit down. And everything internally will say, be about yourself, don't be about others. I love Rahab, how she sacrificed. She sacrificed all she knew. And she gets put in the line of Christ. You know who the most miserable followers of Christ are? Those that are half in. We see a couple here. We see a couple that we'd be like, nah, I don't think I'd want to be them. Second is, we must refuse to sit on the sideline. You know what we tend to say? We tend to say, God can't use me. God, I've not been a great runner. God, I'm not the greatest runner. God used Gideon to do great things. God used Samson to do great things. I love what Jesus says. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Is it too late to run for Jesus? I think sometimes our guilt and our shame and our current status is kind of like my clothes getting wet, and it just weighs us down. I like when Jesus tells the parable of the workers in the vineyard. Some start early. Some start at the middle. And then there's some that the last hour he says, hey, I'm going to put you to work. They all get paid the same. How can you and I be counted among the faithful? First, the call of the follow is not easy. The answer is not perfection. It is by faith. But faith is a choice. It's a choice. Catherine's got an old Bible. Not sure where it's at, but in chapter 11, about 15 years ago, she wrote, by faith, ... Michael and Catherine. We have to rewrite that every season. Can you and I, as we leave later this morning, would we be able to write in our Bibles above chapter 11, by faith, ... your name? Faith is a choice, but what's the DNA of the goats? If we want to be the greatest of all time, if we want to do great things for Christ, what would the DNA be? Three things. First is stewardship. All we have, we're going to sing a song at the end, it talks about trusting God without boundaries. Is there anything this morning as you've come in that you said, God, you can't touch that, that's mine. God, I will not go here. God, you've called me to this, but it's too much. Give it back to Him. Jump into the journey of faith. Stewardship. Second, they were confident in their identity, whose team they were on. I like Noah. I really do. He gets the call, hey, Noah, I want you to build a boat. A what? A boat. What for? They hadn't seen rain yet. It's a different. What's rain? I want a boat. Noah's like, well, dude, I'm on your team. I'm going to go build a boat. Cajun Navy hadn't even shown up yet. He was confident in whose he was, and when he heard the call, it didn't matter what anybody else said. He went after it. The DNA, stewardship, confident, and then last, an unwavering purpose. By faith. I love Abraham here. He had a choice, didn't he? He'd walked by faith his whole life, and something was put out in front of him, and he had a choice. How would he respond? Hear me this morning. It's not the start of the race. Though this morning, if you're like, what's this guy talking about? Faith and call and running. Look, if you don't know Jesus, this makes no sense. And this morning, if you don't know Jesus and you're here for a reason. Don't leave until you learn about how you can start your race, how you can come to know Jesus. There is a God that created you. His Son died for you, and He wants to be in relationship with you. But for the rest, it's not the start of the race. It's not the middle of the race. Goats are made at the end of the race. All of these finished well, and that is what draws us and calls us into this chapter. We want to finish well. Well, when can I begin? Hey, none of us here have reached the finish line yet. You can start running anytime. Well, how would I begin? Anybody know how you run? You take a step, and then you take another one. You know, when I was running around the block this last weekend, I was just trying to get off my street while the rain came in, and I thought, if I can get a little farther, I'll have to come back. I'll run the distance. There are many good reasons to run. Maybe it's our soul. We don't want to live for lesser things. Maybe it's the kingdom. We have an idea of something grander. But there is only one thing that will ensure you and I finish well. His name is Jesus. And He's at the finish line. I love the parable of the talents. Let me take you back to it. Remember, one gets five, one gets three, one gets one. One buries one. We don't even know what he's doing. But what does Jesus say to the ones who handle it? Well done, my good and... Yes. That's what we want to hear. That's why we run. Not for us, but for Him. How can you and I do great things for God? First, be honest. It's going to be tough. The course is not easy. The call is not easy. Second, the answer is always by faith, dot, dot, dot. And we run, and it's a choice. We run for Jesus. This last week, it's about a week ago, there was a funeral here, a memorial, and I woke up in the morning. I knew I was going to come. I didn't know the family at all. I'd never met any of the family. And so I was grilling Catherine because she keeps all the relational connects in her head. It's quite amazing. She's telling me about the family, and I'm trying to remember so when I show up, I don't say something dumb. I was sitting in the back, and I kept hearing this name, Tarilla. Tarilla. I was like, who's Tarilla? Well, she's the great-grandmother. There was a young lady that did a wonderful job eulogizing her mother this last week. But it was the great-grandmother's name that kept popping up. I'm like, who's this Tarilla lady? Had to ask how to pronounce her name. I was standing in the back, and the sermon ended, and Dennis went back, and Jody was back there, and I said, tell me about Tarilla. They're like, oh, Tarilla. She's about 5 foot. She was powerhouse. Loved Jesus. Thinking, I'd like to know her. Monday, we're preparing. It's a team for preaching. Dennis and Marty and Tim were in the room. I was like, tell me about Tarilla. Tim looked at me and said, she was feisty. Marty said she loved Jesus. I texted Dennis later. I said, did she come to Christ here? How did she finish? Like, I needed the rest of the story. He's like, no, she came here and she knew Jesus and she ran all the way through the finish line. He said, you probably should figure out how to pronounce her name before you talk about her. I said, what's new, Dennis? Then on Wednesday, I was in here and I had Paola, who did announcements, and I had Tyler sitting there and I was preaching through the sermon in a dry run. I mentioned Tarilla and we walk out and Paula's like, oh, I loved having her in Bible studies. She would talk and you just knew she walked with the Lord. And Tyler was like, they were in our small group. She got married when she was like 70 and they were the young newlywed couple. It was awesome. I was like, where was I? Then out after first service, Ann came up to me and said, oh, you don't know this, but she prayed. She would sit on the back row. I never met her. She prayed. At conferences, she would pace around the property and she would pray. You know, there are big names like Billy Graham and Mother Teresa. You know who I want to be like? I want to be like Tarilla. I want to be here, and so do you. Let's pray. Father, you know each's race here. Every one of them has a race. You know what they face. You know what they came in with their heart. You know where you want them to have take steps of faith, where you're calling them in deeper and they're afraid. We're afraid. Lord, lift our eyes up. May we be like the man with Jesus who, when he realized that his faith was shaking, looked at the Lord of heaven and earth and said, Lord, increase my faith. This morning, Lord, we thank you for the many Tarillas that you have placed, knowing or unknowing, in our lives. Thank you for a lady that I have never met that ran her leg well. And Lord, in this body, in our families, may it be more often than not that we go all the way through the finish line. By your grace, for your glory, and all for your Son. Amen.